Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. This is Discheads, an amateur disc golf podcast. I am one of the co-hosts, Lee, and with me today we have a fantastic crew, a full crew and cast of this episode. And this is episode 11. Because you came up with it, Ben. What is the title of this episode? Because I keep saying, is it Rambling, Scrambling?
It's Rambling, Scrambling Man.
Rambling, Scrambling Man. And there's a reason why it's called that, and we're going to get to that in a second. Have you just heard? Ben, how you doing? Welcome back.
I'm not ill anymore.
You're not ill. You're alive, which is nice. You seem, you've got more. I remember at one point you did fade very fast in the episode.
Oh, last week was horrendous.
But you're back, feeling a bit better. Good. And then we've got the man, the myth, the legend of this podcast, the producer, the man behind everything, Dan. How you doing, bud?
Yeah, I'm alright. Well, I'm
looking so bad. Do you? Nice. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm good. How are you, Lee?
I'm not too bad. I'm trying to see. Is your mic on?
No.
Do a wobbly bob bob. It's not coming on. For some weird reason, it's going a bit faint. For some weird reason,
test.
Try it now.
A wob, bob, bob.
There we go. We've got you back. There's a bit of a hiss because the cable's a bit jank, but we're there. We got it. We're good.
Yeah, we're still good.
Yeah, I think we're okay. I'm trying to just figure it out. We should be okay. Yeah, I've got you now. We're all good.
Sweet.
Amateur podcast. We love this, mate. We absolutely love this. Okay, Dan, what are we doing then, bud?
I'm just curious
because you're still quite faint. I don't understand what's going on right now. A wob, bob, bob.
A wob, bob, bob.
There we go. That's about it. There we go.
Turn one of them knobs and does something.
Well, yeah, it's the fist of the joy because I've literally, you and me are fine, Ben. Dan, just bring your microphone a little bit closer to you or just come a little bit closer to the microphone.
How's that?
That should be okay.
Just shout at it.
Just shout.
Yeah, just speak just a bit louder.
There we go. All right, we should be good.
Well, what the hell has gone on today? Like, we were normally really good with the intro.
I know. It's because this is the
intro ever.
It's the first episode. We're in double digits, officially past 10, and it's just all gone to hell. So, Dan, what are we talking about today?
we're going to talk about scrambling, strangely.
Yep.
Hazards. We're going to have a disc of the week. We've got a beginner tip. We're going to talk about some random games and what we do for practice almost. But you'll understand more when we get to that later on. But firstly, we've talked about this before in some great depth. But something I was wanting to speak about, because I think we've learned more since we spoke about it. And that's the community in disc golf.
Okay.
And we spoke about the people that we've bumped into and how friendly everybody is. But what I've noticed more and more is that the wider community, when you're online, and I mean, I don't do social media, miserable place. But when I'm on Facebook, when I'm attracted to the disc golf sites, everybody's friendly. Even when I read some stuff and I'm like, what's he going on about? Well, that's a bit of a silly question. But everybody's friendly. There's nobody on there going, moron. What do you mean you've done a difference between a Heiser and a Heiser? There's none of that. In every other thing that I do, gaming and football and work, there's always someone going, idiot.
Nobody's calling you a noob when you're playing disc golf.
No. Yeah, 100%. We're all in the same boat, aren't we, a little bit? Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, it's such a positive community.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I'm reading stuff, it's like, oh, these boys banded together to do this, or this charity event's because of this. Like,
yeah.
One of the best things that I read was one of our friends, Galatia, shared a photo, and somebody had got a disc in someone's memory. It was like, toss this on the next hole, and if it's your last hole, we'll take it to the next course and toss it there.
Yeah.
I was like, that's just brilliant.
It's pretty sweet. Yeah. I remember seeing that. That was nice.
We'd probably throw it in a bush and lose it.
Yeah. That'll definitely happen. But then that guy's memory will also be living on an episode of Where the Did That Go? As a special guest. Oh, that game never gets old.
But yeah, disc golf community.
Yeah.
Positive place.
Pretty great.
Another reason to play disc golf.
100%. I've not met... It seems weird because it's like disc golf community, everyone seems really sound. And I've played like competitive golf and normal golf.
and they're pricks. Like, to be brutally honest, because there's like they seem a bit uptight sometimes, and like
it's
with disc golf,
poshos.
There we go. We'll say that. We can, yeah, we definitely say that. This, the last couple of courses I've gone to, I've been kind of like, yeah, not coming back here again. But yeah, it just seems really all inclusive. Like, everyone's like just so welcoming, and like you can literally learn. Like, from the tournaments we've gone to as well, everyone's really open about, like, talking about their game and how they can improve, and also, like, share the rules with you and stuff like that. It just seems really nice compared to, like, other sports that I've either played competitively or even just played normally.
And it's for everybody.
It is.
Like, the tournament in Bristol, I showed up in the brightest shirt, and it was so hot, and it fully undone. Like, I looked like a sweaty, weird old man.
Weird clown man.
Clown man.
Everybody's always spoke to me.
That's nice.
I show up in my hoodie in the colder ones, looking like some road man.
Some
Everyone
road man.
Everyone still speaks to me.
I love that. Oh, that's amazing. No. No, it is a fantastic community. I honestly, it is quite funny because it's like, I think it's because it also still at this point, I feel like it's still quite niche of a sport. Like, even though you look at other countries,
in
like
this country,
in this country, yeah, because like it's quite big in certain countries in Europe and obviously America and Canada and stuff like that, but it's still quite new and niche here, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, like the Sweden,
yeah,
Denmark,
yeah. Norway and stuff like that.
It's been around in the UK for a fair bit.
A wee bit.
It's now
becoming more mainstream.
Yeah. So this week's beginner tip. Very simple one, actually, and I was looking through the beginner tips that we've given, and I thought, well, we've never actually spoke about this, because it is going to be teaching some people how to suck eggs, and quite an obvious one.
Okay.
But fluids.
Yes. Yes.
You need fluids if you're going to suck eggs.
I think when me and you first started going around, man, we didn't really take a bag that accommodated a drinks bottle, like the first couple of rounds.
But also it was freezing.
Yeah,
because you guys had what? You guys had the small, like, kind of like Indiana Jones bags, didn't you?
I had my little orange bag.
Yeah.
The best bag ever.
Yeah, 100%.
But I was getting over and I was like, caning.
It's still the best,
pints of water down, like, because,
yeah.
Pints of milk in my case.
It's still the best disc bag, the orange bag.
The orange
Because you can only take five, and then you're like, so you...
You've got
You're
choose.
Not spoiled for choice.
What was it? What was the thing from Indiana Jones?
Got.
Choose wisely.
I mean, we were playing what 2 weeks ago, and my watch went off. So you already done your 10,000.
Yeah.
And I was playing one round.
I was.
Yeah.
So you think
it's
that's
not
a,
hard?
But that's a daily goal for most people. 10,000.
Yeah.
It's so true.
You think about, you know, if you're going to walk 10,000 steps, you're going to want to drink not half a liter of water at least. No, regardless.
100%. Yeah, that's true.
To keep yourself going. You do it in any other sport.
Yeah, you do, actually.
If I only did 10,000 steps, my day would be over at 2 o'clock.
Tapping out. No, I feel like it is like that, because then you can get the hilarious... I think, honestly, that's it, because most mornings after... Because I have a hilarious job with fun hours. Like, sometimes I'm like, I'm only going to get 4 or 5 hours sleep, so I need to make sure I've got water, but also some sort of, like, caffeine beverage ready to go. So I'm like... kind of somewhat conscious for you guys, and be like, hi, I'm alive, we're here to play. You know,
nowadays I tend to arrive with a coffee in my furnace.
Yep.
And I have I'm getting a bit pop wise, I have a couple of cans of pop, but I have fluids.
Yeah,
maybe not the best fluids, but we're all carrying some kind of fluids now.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do have some sort of fluids.
Did you find your water bottle on Sunday?
Yeah, I did. I think I left it on a teapad because I realised it literally cooked itself, because I saw it and was like, oh. I was like, oh, mate, I can have some of this. And then I literally picked it up. I was like, no, I'm just going to leave it there as a tea marker for other people, because there was more people playing around. I was like, yeah, the foot golf guys and the normal other disc golf guys that were there, they can use that. That's fine. It's all good. They know where that teapad is now. That's good. So, yeah. Make sure you bring water. Fluids. Keep your fluids up.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Hydrate or dihydrate.
Yeah, 100%.
So again, we were flying through the subjects tonight, and this one's not going to be a particularly big one, but it's going to lead into the bigger subjects of this podcast.
Okay.
Hazards.
Hmm.
Now, where we play, we've got bunkers. That's probably the main hazard.
Yeah.
Trees.
Trees. People. Yep.
Trees aren't hazards, though. I know what you mean. You mean hazards, as in add one to your score. Well, hazards.
Like yeah. OBs and stuff like that, and water rivers hazards, and water hazards creeks. And stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I do also mean trees. You are right that technically trees aren't hazards.
They're a hazard to all of us who play disc golf. Good tree, bad tree. That's it.
Lee's buzz.
Yeah.
A hazard.
Actually, yeah. I'm not. I've retired that. The MD3 has taken a very, very strong position in my bag recently, especially with the last couple of rounds that we played last week. I'm very happy with the MD3 now. Oh, that is a very good mid-range. Very good. I'm a happy man. I'm sad for my Buzz SS because it was pretty much the first solid mid-range that the internet never lied about. And we joked about it, actually, didn't we? Because we were just saying, because Dan and me both had Buzzes, but Dan, you've moved off your Buzz. You're on a zombie now.
Yeah.
And I'm on an MD3. So we're off the Buzz bandwagon.
Retired.
Retired Buzz boys. But it's a great, great starter disc, I would say. I'd never a doubt. But
if I lost my zombie, I'll put a Buzz back in the bag. I'll move out like...
I think you should consider it a forehand disc, because apparently they're really good at that.
What, a Buzz? For a forehand disc. I need to learn how to throw a forehand still.
I'm considering getting the American one.
Ooh.
I've heard rumours.
Yeah, unofficial America, another official America disc, but it's a Buzz.
Hazards.
Yeah. So, bunkers. And the moment I mentioned bunkers, I thought you was going to mention something.
My ingenious bunker strategy.
Yeah. What is your ingenious bunker strategy?
Are you not there?
No, it's just me and you, I think.
Go for it. I want to hear this.
So, the rules are, if any of the disc is not in the bunker, then you're all right.
Yeah.
So, use a bigger disc.
So what, Condor?
Yeah.
Condor near bunkers.
Yeah.
What hole was you playing? Was it
hole five?
Yeah.
Hole five.
And I threw this shot straight over the bunker with the Condor.
You was off to the left, weren't you? So, you was coming, you was aiming at the bunker. You had the bunker.
Over the basket from... really horrible shot.
Mm.
Anyway, small slither of disc, not in the bunker.
Yeah.
Because it's a bigger disc.
So you're still fine.
So I was fine.
Yeah. Because what does it state in the rules? Like if your disc isn't fully in the thing or
if
something?
Part of your disc is not in the bunker. This is what I've been made to understand.
Yeah. No,
yeah. Oh, that's cool. I'm fine with that because it's a rule. It's a rule. Yeah.
Then it's all good.
Yeah. So, 100%.
Big disc.
Yeah.
But you were like, that's pretty smart. And that's went and bought a big disc.
I bought a Zephyr.
You bought a Zephyr. Oh, my days.
Which I might not get. I've got two discs this week and I might not get to throw them. Hazards, before we die.
Hazards, yes.
The river at Quarry Park.
Yes. I know that really well. The magician is living in the bottom of that place. He's probably bought a whole civilization of like life growing on him at the moment.
I think that's definitely this month's day out.
Yeah. I would love to go quarry again because that would give me an excuse to get a roadrunner as well because I want a roadrunner for the shot that I need to go around corners. Yeah. No, quarry.
Yeah.
Quarry is solid. That's a good shout. We should do that because we tell everyone because it's our... Yeah, because we said it is the best course in... That we've gone to. It is the best course we've gone to. And out of our...
Statistically
and our extreme rules regulating of ratings...
That's what I mean. On our rule system.
On our rule system, it's up there.
Yeah.
It is. And the internet's never lied.
Showing Dan a larger diameter disc that's been recently added.
What, bigger than the Condor?
No, it's smaller than the Condor.
Bigger than the regular disc.
Okay. Well, I still need to get... We all still need to get Condors.
It's a 5500.
5500. Okay, so it's up there
and
with...
it's only 146 grams.
Oh, so that's really
So it weighs light. Less than the Condor.
Hmm.
Less than the Leopard, but it's bigger.
Okay. Can it fit another disc in it? Because I do want to deploy... We need to do that deployment round.
So I very much doubt it.
Again, we'd love to digress.
We'd love to digress. Hazards.
I bought Zephyr, and we've been... Within 2 minutes of me owning the Zephyr, I'm trying to do a deployment put.
Love that. I literally love that.
Not easy.
Not easy. But the river hazard at Quarry Park.
It's terrifying. It is scary.
Richard missed it, and that's another reason we need to
That's
get
the
there.
Big one, isn't it? Richard's crazy throws.
It's going to be interesting seeing if he throws it into the river properly.
I'm interested in watching him dive into the river after his line.
I think the way some of his lines, I think he could go in that river.
Oh, yeah. Mm. If the Firebird went in there, mate, he would dive in after it.
It's true. Well, we'll check.
I just don't think he would, though. I think he'd look at it and go, yeah, that's in there.
Well, the thing is,
you underestimate how.
The quarry. Well, the thing is, the Firebird is quite a popular disc. So if Quarry Park have the Firebird that is his, if there isn't one there and he throws it in the river, he's like, I'll just go to the shop and buy a new one and just beat it in, possibly. Because they have a lot of Innova. They're pretty much there.
Yeah, they're not bad.
Yeah.
But the river. I like the river because.
I've nearly thrown a disc into the river.
Yeah.
And it curled. The first time we went, I was like, oh, here we go. And then it proper. Spun back on me and didn't go in the river.
It is terrifying.
Had a massive fade at the end, didn't it? And it's like, it saved your disc. It was really, really good shot, to be fair. But I think that's our biggest hazard.
Yeah, I mean, that we've gone to. Or the one where we went to when we went on your birthday weekend, when we threw over.
That was the massive park.
Yeah, that massive park. I threw it over there and it cleared it and it hit a tree and I thought it was going to go in.
Safer. Still beneficial shots.
Yeah, 100%.
Not go near it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Quarry Park, you sort of either have to be able to throw it bang straight.
Yep.
Or you're going over to the river, or you're just fucking it into a load of trees.
Yeah, because so, that's it, ain't it? Yeah.
Whereas with out going over, you can go round the water hazard.
Yeah.
Like that. There are a lot of options.
I feel because it is. It's a.
Your score.
That hole is a very tight fairway as well. It's like you say, you've got river on one side and then you're in predator territory the other side.
Just left trees. Down turn towards the river, the basket, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
All trees on the other side.
I'd love to see if we play, if we're behind a group, how other people attack that hole, how they play it.
I mean,
it would be interesting to see.
I know how I'm going to attack.
Fine. I'm going to bring scuba gear just in case.
I'm just going to not throw it that way.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to try and avoid it, but I know it's going to go that way. That's why I'm worried. I'd rather take my chance with it.
I'll be throwing a disc.
Yeah, 100%. I would rather just take my chance.
That will always finish the other way. So
if
I throw it out to water, it's going to drop back into land.
Fair. That is a good point.
That it will do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
But I think you've also got the hazards. You've got one of these at Quarry Park, but you've got them at Gillies, the more prominent at Gillies, I think. They're only on one hole on Quarry Park, but your creeks, your brooks.
Yeah, the brooks are annoying because you have to get
You don't necessarily see them.
No.
Like, think about the one, do you know the golf course, the really expensive course?
Yes.
There was a brook on one of them holes, and you didn't see it until you was up there. We all walked up to it without... Glad we cleared this.
Yeah, that was terrifying. Because it's like trying to get your footing in it.
There is,
that's their thing.
Do you remember Quarry Park again? Where the bridges are between hole 7, hole 8 area.
Yeah,
them little bridges that end up full of water.
Oh, yeah.
I threw a disc in there.
Yeah, again, that brook, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Them brooks at Quarry Park, and then Gillies, I think they're a bit more prominent because you got... 2-3 of them.
Yeah, it goes across a whole half of the course, doesn't it?
Pad that I'm absolutely terrified that one day I am just going to come off the end and it's going to look
in the brook.
Oh yeah, standard.
One day that's happening.
One day, I'm not going to hold the brakes and just go, and just see how it goes.
I'm really surprised. Like
I've told you before, if you just spray the bottom of your shoes with waterproof spray,
walk on water,
you'll be able to blast out. The big man did it.
Waterproof spray.
I banged some waterproof spray on the bottom of his sandals and went...
When we start filming our rounds again, and I dare try and bring out the camera in the rain, you need to bring the spray out just for shits and giggles for that.
Waterproof spray.
Everyone we'll just spray everything and just see if it works. See if you have an advantage.
But, yeah.
I've just solved the river issue.
Yeah. Back to hazards. So you sprung to it a bit early because it's not technically a hazard, but the biggest hazard that we face is trees.
Yeah.
You got your trees that are just there. There's your big tree in the middle of the fairway. You're just off to the right. Mm-hmm. There we crash into, but we normally bounce out into a nice spot, thinking we'll hold 10 at Bedworth.
Good tree, bad tree.
And then there's the trees that are practically a mini forest that you end up stuck in.
Yeah.
And that's where the title of our podcast comes in.
Yes.
Scrambling, rambling man.
Love it.
Lean, mean, scrambling machine.
Scrambling.
So, I joked the other week that scrambling's now the best part of my game.
Yes, you did. You said that out loud. You did.
Because
that was the last round I was at.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm constantly...
Always scrambling.
always
scrambling.
Like, I must spend just as long... On any course that's got like, any kind of forestry,
mm-hmm.
I will spend just as long scrambling as I do throwing open shots.
Yeah.
Them open shots are normally my tee shots
mm-hmm.
into a situation where you can start scrambling.
Yeah. Dan goes out of his way. He's like, I'm throwing into this bush because I know I can get a better shot because I'm a rambling, scrambling man.
I'm a rambling, scrambling man.
But it is true, though.
There's nothing... It's a part of disc golf that you really have to be prepared for.
Oh, 100%.
I was thinking about this, and the reason why I used this week's subject was I was thinking, what's the negatives of disc golf? And I thought, well, you've got the weather, but man up and let's fucking get out of there.
Yeah, we've played in every type of weather.
Person up. I'm not getting cancelled.
it's not up or shut up. Just do it.
Just up.
Because it's like literally, what was it? We've played in terrible rain. We've played in, I would say, definitely sun now. Sun.
Yeah. We've played in like near
super windy. Sun. And then we've also played in the snow. That snow round in Bedworth was so much fun. I really want more snow because that was so funny.
I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
Lightning round.
I will do it again because I know my skid mark plastic could become a health hazard.
The ice. I was going to say, I wouldn't do it again, but we've even played in that. When we went to Aberfan and we played in that rain.
Oh, that rain was bad.
Unplayable rain.
It was unplayable rain.
But at least
rain.
We can say we've done it.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is why we wouldn't do it again.
No.
I'd definitely rather play in snow than that rain.
Yeah.
But I think the only negative I can think of for disc golf is pre-scrambling. When you've got to figure out, when that... You see the disc, and it goes into the bush. First of all, you got to play, where the f*** did that go?
100% you need to play that game.
And once you've got some kind of idea of where the f*** that went, you then look at stingers, thorn bushes, spiders, bees.
Literally, wasp nests. You name it, we've seen it.
Then you get to play, how do I get this out of here?
And then you think to yourself, what are my shorts and t-shirts?
Yeah. It's so annoying. It's so annoying. I now need to start. The one time I wear joggers, I didn't throw it into any dangerous bushes. And then as soon as I go back to shorts, the discs just decide to go.
You work in like that kind of industry where you're out and about and like you're getting stuck in doing maintenance type jobs and being stung and stuff like that. So when the stingers first started coming up, because this is obviously our first summer playing.
Yeah,
so 100%. When the stingers first started coming up, then we'd walk in these shorts and just like plough through. And it was all like, bloody hell, he's got asbestos legs.
And that's where it came, asbestos.
By the end of this summer, I've now got to a point where I'm crouching down in stingers and I look down. It's only when I look at them that I go, I'm being stung.
That's yeah.
That's the only time it hurts me, when I acknowledge it's happening.
When you... when you acknowledge that it's happening.
If I just don't, then I'm good.
Fair. Okay.
But
I hate it.
But pre-scrambling is awful.
Yeah, it is. Because you've got to... It's kind of like, right, I know it's in there, how bad it is. And sometimes your disc is like, oh, it's just on the outskirts, that's fine. When you go in there and you go, oh, that's in the thick of the shit. I can't throw from there. You have to look at the rule book and go, you can go back... the distance it's travelled, some relief, so you can, but then most of the time it's like, I got to throw tomahawk over a bush or around the side of it or whatever, or you just go for it and just go, I'm going to get in there.
If it's in the bush,
yeah,
you get relief, but if it's on the floor,
yeah,
and you can put your foot behind it,
yeah,
no relief.
Yeah, you've got to go in.
So that's your next step, right?
Yeah.
What is your scrambling approach?
Well, this is what I'm saying. So once you're in, you then look at your disc, right? Mm-hmm. The first thing you got to do is figure, where is my foot going to end up? Let's remember, you've not actually got a run up, but you might be taking a step in.
Yeah, you're standing or stepping, yeah.
You might be stepping.
Mm.
No step.
Yeah, nine times out of ten, it's no step.
Yeah, you're just planting your foot and you're going.
So, where's your foot going? Because it's going to be full of thorns and...
It's just
them,
it's
whatever them tangled things are that get wrapped around your foot, and
it's all the horrible forestry just seems to always be in the bushes that we throw to.
Yeah,
but then so you got your foot in sorted. You decided where you're gonna place your foot, whether it's gonna be forwards, backwards.
Yeah,
like we say, if you're lucky.
Yeah,
if you're really lucky, you might get a step in, but. I think like Ben said, Ben saying all the time he's standing. Saying most of the time I'm standing. 9 times out of 10, because why are you putting any power into it?
Okay.
I always fling my scrambles real hard.
It depends how thick a shrubbery you're in.
Gillies, when I was like, I can't see, and I just flung that sensei through everything, that's my new approach. I just don't try and make a line. I just get the sensei out and blast it through what's ever in front of me.
Okay.
As hard as possible. And most of the time it works.
See, the first thing I'm doing is I'm looking for... And
if it's open, I just get a mid-range and just take the shot. Yeah. If not, I'm just blasting one of my older putters.
Yeah. And it's okay.
They're my two approaches.
Like, okay.
Yeah. So the first thing I'm doing is actually having a look at what lines are available. And, you know, like you said, if it's open, I'm just going to take the open shot.
But it's got to be really open.
Yeah, it's
got to
be really open
Otherwise, I'm just going to blast through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've started to look at even like real close windows. Like, the one that I threw when was at Mamre Valley last not,
yep.
not rainy day, but when was there last?
It rained right at the end of it.
Yeah, we timed that perfectly.
Yeah. There was a particular shot where I was scrambling, and I even looked at the island and thought, why am I even going for this?
That I remember
this. Such a small gap. I made it.
Yeah.
Actually making them gaps is a fantastic feeling.
Yeah, 100% it is.
If you can mess up, end up in the trees, scramble your way out, and still save par with an amazing shot like that, it's just as good as a birdie.
Yeah, 100%. Well, we love the little things in stuff
like
that.
I'd rather get a big par save than a birdie.
Yeah?
Yeah, because you can...
Like
yeah.
Much more of a big deal.
Yeah.
Because you've already in your head... If you look at a birdie, you're like, might get a birdie here. But if you look at a situation that's a par save, most of the time you're going, I'm going to bogey this.
Yeah, I've messed this up. But the moment it goes into them bushes, you're like, I've messed this up.
But if you still par it with like a massive putt or whatever, you're like, yeah.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's better than a birdie.
So,
yeah.
What disc are you using for scrambling?
Ooh, I have two. I have my old school Destroyer. And then I got my Cax. My Cax is very specific because So Rich saw the shot that I did, and it's probably 1 out of 10 times I've thrown it the way it actually has worked out, where I've decided to tomahawk it, but I've thrown it the other way round. So when it comes out, it's on the smooth part of the disc, and it will just slide.
Yeah.
And it's amazing when it's wet because it will just slide. So it was the one where you throw from. You know where it's you throw from one hole to hole 8 in Bedworth?
Yep, 7 to 8.
7 to 8. From there, I threw, I think my drive went in the bush. So I stood in the bush and I just tomahawked it. And Rich was laughing because he was like, you've parked that. And then I looked and it literally, what it did, he said, it landed about here and just scooted. And it was literally like 4 foot from the basket. And I was like, okay, so it's finally done what I wanted it to do. The Destroyer's there because I kind of go like Ben. If I fling this in a window or where it is, I know it will cut through.
Yeah.
Because it's quite sharp. Not because it's also like damaged human flesh and all that other stuff. It's just basically you want something that's either, you know, something sharp or something that you know is confident to go through where you're going. So yeah. Like Ben for saying throwing like a sensei or an old putter and stuff like that makes sense.
Use something sharp. I use an old sensei.
But that's a thick boy. It just bashes through. So it goes through stuff, yeah.
And I know I can put some on it.
Yeah.
I just use that.
That's the only thing you use?
What?
That's the only dish you use, yeah.
Unless
yeah.
it's like a big window, and then I just get a mid out, like the archer. But that's just a straight shot. That's just me taking a straight shot.
Yeah.
Mm. If I'm in bushes and I need to get out, I'll either use the sensei or one of my other, or the dagger. Like just an old putter that I can just wallet.
I love this. He's now going to put it on silent, ain't he? What a lad.
He's a man in the... I can't even get my words out. You're a man in demand.
Man in demand. No. But it is true, though. I feel like there's no wrong disc to use.
Well, I go with the count. It's a rubbery disc.
But you love your count.
It's a rubbery disc. It bounces off trees. It's got a nice smooth line. It's quite thin, quite flexible.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it for scrambling. See, if I'm in a situation, though, where I know I'm going to have to blast through a bush.
Mm.
Then I've got...
That's why I love the buzz. The buzz was really good for doing that.
The buzz would be...
The buzz was really good for mine.
Specifically for that.
But then I'd just MD now.
The buzz has got a thick rim, hasn't it? So I've got the...
I use the sensei.
You have the buzz SS though, because it has a bit of a ridge, so it comes down a little bit. So I always used to chuck that out as relief, but then I realised like my Cax is probably better because it's similar and it's a bit more... rubberier, if that makes any sense.
If I'm looking for relief, if I've got a gap to get relief, like over a bush or something like that, I'm planning to use a Zephyr. That's
okay.
What
So you're officially having the Count and the Zephyr in your bag now for scrambling.
But the Zephyr might come out for the very rare, I need to put this next to the basket and into a bunker shot. Just use it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Just use it. It's fun.
Interesting. I like that.
You can get used by the fun rounds.
After what you said, though, I am thinking that I'll use the Frontier because that's
your rubbery disc.
The rubbery one, yeah.
But you haven't been in a scrambling situation since I said I'd do that.
Yeah. So. Mm. The Horizon is the other disc I was thinking of, which is another launch disc. And that's, again, a bit rubbery, but that's more of an edge on it.
Is that the
old Thunderbird that I had, the American disc. That feels very similar plastic to what that did.
Yeah. It's not quite UFO shaped, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Sharp edge. It's got that more of a...
Yeah, yours has got a less edge than the Thunderbird, I think. But, you know, it's got a similar feel to it.
Yeah.
You can just blast it.
And that was
through.
Good at going through trees, RIP.
And I also do not care about it. It's not the greatest disc
and
in the world.
And that is the main reason I use the other sensei, because it's no longer used for putting.
I love my sensei. I'm going to be sad when I have to retire that. I know. You use your cooler one for putting.
Yeah, obviously.
Nah, it is true. I think it's like find a disc that's comfortable for you, but also at the same time it's kind of like old discs or even a disc you don't mind, like Dan for example, like he's purposely using a Zephyr and a Count as a scrambling. I'm using a Destroyer and the Cax. Z? No, it's just Cax for mine.
That's Zephyr's.
And you've got your scent.
Mashed up because my Condor is already damaged.
Well, yours is going to be beaten in before we do the deployment round, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping for floaty shots with it. Yeah,
100%.
It's going to be my gentle.
The gentle touch disc. It's well fun. Condor is literally one of the funnest things to throw.
I feel like it's going to be interesting how we're going to do our deployment round. I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to that video.
Yeah, or you originally need to get big discs.
Mm-hmm. Next month. Next month is getting bought.
Next month is getting a disc extender.
They don't do big RPM discs, so we may have an issue with Richard.
No, he just has to get it. We'll do it. It's an unofficial sponsored episode of Condor. That's what it is. It's like, buy a Condor just so you can do these rounds because it's so stupid, the premise.
I wanted to buy another big disc, but I didn't.
I ain't going to lie. The video where we use it in foreplay is really funny because I think at one point I say, I hate this disc. And then the other point I make a really long putt with it. And then I say, oh, yeah, I really like this disc.
Is that where we make you play that as like the decider?
Yeah. The last shot. And then Dan casually just goes, oh, yeah, Lee doesn't know the score, but I'm trying to f*** him up here. And I just drained it.
I don't know if we filmed it, actually.
Like, Richard weren't there for foreplay. We made them play the decider, and it was him and Richard.
Oh, yeah.
No,
it wasn't.
giving them burgers and.
And then we were like, no, I thought, was it not you and Lee? And I was like,
yeah, we had to do a roller. We had to do rollers.
You missed, and then you played again. Then no, you matched again, and then you matched again, and I. Or was that Lee and Richard?
No, it was Lee and Rich, because then you guys came over and said, use whatever you want, like the Banger GT and the Berg or whatever it was, and we literally were going shot for shot.
I swear there was one point when I made you both use the Condor, though.
I think that was when we went Sherwood Pines, and I think you are right.
Yes,
I think it
I
was
am.
Me and Lee, and I think we just had a pot-off with Condor.
Yeah, something like that. It was hilarious.
The disc of the week. If
nice.
We talk about discs, we might as well go on to our chosen discs.
Nice.
So I'm going to start. I very rarely start disc of the week.
You rarely do. That's true.
So,
have the honour.
You always start disc of the week because you go, disc of
disc
the week.
Of the week. But he doesn't mention it. And then he opens it up.
So I'll start disc of the week. Yeah. Disc of the week. Thank you. Right, Dan, you're first.
I love this. Oh.
So I left when I've got the mystery box. I got a couple of Duchesses in it, and I've been using them in the garden just for not practice stuff and not really doing anything with them. And they were left on the garden floor, and I got some wood, and I'd moved it into the garden, and it was there for a couple of weeks, and the shade had like half shaded the Duchess, and
yeah.
the sun has stained my disc. And now I've got like a pokeball effect, half red.
It's
half
so I love
orange.
It. I called it the pokeball.
Cool.
It's so freaking cool.
Draw some eyes on it, and then you got a Voltorb.
I've been thinking about things I can do with it. I might need some more discs out in the sun, but that's for
I love
episode.
This. I love this.
But, so when it did that, I was like quite intrigued. I don't know what it was, but it made me wanted to throw it a bit. So I was practicing out in the garden, and I realised that actually for a long putt, it's on that solid disc.
Yeah.
And then this Sunday, I took it with me and took it out of my bag a lot more. And I was throwing some long putts with it, throwing some nice approaches with it.
Yeah.
Especially when the wind picked up.
Mm.
Because the Duchess is an approach disc, but it's shaped like a driver.
Interesting.
Yeah, because
that's
it's from
bad.
The UK Disc Golf
never
starter pack, isn't it? So you got the Baron as the putter.
Yeah, the Count as the driver, and then the Duchess.
And the Duchess is meant to be a fairway driver, but it's only like a speed 5. So realistically, it's approach disc.
Yeah, it's a mid slash approach.
Shaped like a driver.
That's weird. And fun.
It is weird, but I like it.
But it's weird, but we like it. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, what is the speed on it? Cause I don't actually know. I'm just throwing a 5 out there because I'm sure the count's a 7.
Come on, Rayman, you got to help us out here.
I don't know.
Oh, he's not a UK. He doesn't know he's the UK.
No.
Is it in your? Have you put it in your UDisc app, guys? Have you put it in your UDisc?
It is in my bag, but my app is taking
my
a little while to load.
Oh
now,
boy,
it's a 5.5.
It's a 5.5. It's the
0.5. 5 minus 1, 2.
I've got 5.4 minus 2, 2.
You
I'm on my UDisc, so I imagine I got them numbers from my disc.
Yeah, I guess there's got to be because we've seen loads of different Duchess numbers.
I'd never trust Ace for numbers. Trust
what?
Ace for shipping. Trust Ace for quality. Trust Ace for price.
Ace's numbers are right.
Oh no. That's where I got my glory from.
Oh,
the numbers for that are
so wrong.
From the shop. You went in and got that. You spoke to a person.
No, I went to the website.
Well,
the numbers were wrong on that disc because he was like, "I'm in love with this," and then as soon as he found the real numbers, he was like, "Oh, this is just the same disc I own."
Was at its peak, it was all from Ace.
Your peak of powers.
My peak of my powers.
Okay, I love that.
To be fair, 99.9% of the time they are right.
Oh yeah, 100%, 100% they are right.
No, 100% of the time.
99.9%, okay, sorry.
Yeah, they have been wrong. The glory was wrong. 5.5, my eye.
It was still a great disc.
Still
you
great
love that disc.
Disc.
It's a good disc.
Right, Lee, disc of the week.
Mine's a bit weird because I've only had it recently and I haven't threw it a ton, and it's the Polecat. It's a bit of a weird one. I've not thrown it as much because I'm paranoid because it's a heavy but lightweighted disc. And it's a 1300.
Just throw it.
and it's terrifying in wind. Like, it's fun for a... It's an approach putt disc, and I got it because I want to own one of these discs in my bag, because it's just one of those discs where whenever you bring up, like, approach discs and something a bit different, Berg gets mentioned, the Polecat gets mentioned, the Glitch gets mentioned, loads of... The Sonic... I'm really disappointed it's a slow disc, though. I wish that was a fast driver. I really wish it was. Yeah.
When I can afford to blow 15 quid, I'm getting a Sonic.
Mm. Have you seen the artwork for the Sonic as well? Some of the pro ones, they're basically one guy who... A rip-off of Guile.
That's pretty
good. It looks sick. And then there's another one where he's like Guile, but he's holding a disc band, and then he's got like a Tails rip-off like in the background with a Guile kind of bandana. It looks sick. But yeah, so the Polecat, I mainly got it because it's one of those discs where I'm just like, this will be fun if all of us got it, and it can be a fun video, and it can also be another fun putter to add in the bag. But also, the guy I love and I will constantly keep rating, if he ever listens to a podcast, that'd be amazing, Robbie C from Foundation. He swears by the Polecat being a good putter. So I'm like, okay, I'll give it a go. And it's solid. It is like a dart if you throw it right, but it's light, which I do not like because I like heavier discs. And the funniest thing about it is it feels like it's got a lot of weight, but it's light. It doesn't make any sense because when I got it, it's like 160 something. And I'm like, that's quite light for me because I'm always in like the 170 range. And it's got a bit of lift, a bit of weight to it, but it just is light. And it's something like, if it's not windy, I'll throw it and it's fun. When it's windy, it stays in the bag and it looks depressed. So,
nah, throw your light discs in the wind.
That is fun for you. Yeah. It'll definitely come out in a foreplay video, 100%. Like, it'll always be a disc on a foreplay video because I think having something that thick is just brilliant.
I think with foreplay, we ought to like decide which of the odd discs to go in.
Well, there's a few that... Well, the thing is, I think you can have some reoccurring guests because I don't think all of us will... All of us might have the same disc now and then, but we all will have our own discs that we would say, have fun throwing this. It's hilarious.
I'm always going to put in stupid discs.
Yeah, 100%. You always do. True. You be kind with one, and then the rest you just mess around with. But yeah, the Polecat, it's really good. For now, I'm still learning it. My bag is getting smaller and smaller by the thing. So when it comes disc of the week, I'll be like, guys, I got no more discs soon. So I'm running out. But I'm that kind of guy who's like, no, I'm learning them now. It's just, I'm very consistent with them. Like, if there's any more sea lion plastic out there, like, I'll get it because I'm enjoying the MD, which I talked about in the last episode. That is significantly replaced the Buzz now. I'm really happy with where that is.
Well, I'm going to reclaim Disc of the Week after the mutiny earlier and say, Ben, what's your disc?
Yes.
So it's the Eagle Innovert disc.
Ka-caw.
Speed 7, 4, minus 1, 3.
Hold on, what was that? Because it definitely wasn't the Ka-caw! Sound of an eagle.
Yeah, it was an eagle. I can't do an eagle sound effect, sorry. It's just a really depressed crow, sorry. Ka-caw! Ka-caw! I don't know. Because all Ben has is old animal named discs, isn't it? There we go. That's close. We'll go with that. I broke Dan. I've literally just broke him.
Oh, dear.
It's a Speed 7 disc. So
you sounded like a spasticated seagull. Sorry, Ben.
Speed 7, Glide 4, minus 1, 3. It's slightly lighter than everyone else's discs. I think it's about 160 something.
Maybe. Is it lighter than a Leopard?
No.
Is the Leopard the lightest disc? Yeah. Okay.
The Leopard's made of helium.
The Leopard's 147. This is about 160.
Jeez. Okay. All right.
I don't use it all that often, but it is good. Melanie, they've got four discs now. Like, this is one that is being learned in the same way as the Polecat is.
Mm.
And then there's another one which is being learned. And then there's the Leopard, which is fine. Like, I don't need to talk about that. And then the Cheetah. And they're the four discs at the minute that are pretty solid. And they're the only four drivers that I use for driving that are in my bag.
Okay.
And that's that. So this is one that I'm starting to enjoy using. And it's sort of my heavy leopard, basically.
Okay.
When I need... That's what these two new discs are. But I'm talking about the Eagle this time. And I'm sure the next time it'll be the other one,
yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's it at the moment, is it? Because we've got our staples we will always use. But we're learning new discs.
Locked in on a number. And now I've got a speed locked in. And now I've got the same speed.
Mm.
Four times.
Right.
Well, no, three times. And they do slightly different things. And then there's one with a slightly lower speed that does something slightly different to all of those.
Interesting.
But I'm not above that speed. And I will stay there.
I like that.
For a while, I think.
Well, if you're throwing 300 foot, 400 foot, yeah? Could we breach 300 foot on a good day?
I'm either matching or out driving with my slow speed, lightweight discs.
And we're doing 90 to 100 metres on a good drive. Yeah. So we're up there. Is it 300 foot or 200 foot? I can't remember my conversions. Anyway, it doesn't matter. If you're matching us, right?
Yeah.
Why would you want to increase your speed?
I don't need to. That's what I mean. I'm either matching you because it's got the less weight, so it goes, or what we found with the Leopard is I'm throwing it and then it's hitting and rolling to make up that extra.
Yeah. Well, the thing is,
back straight, it makes up that extra ground on.
So I took the Mystic back out, right?
Yeah.
And. Because obviously Richard throws it really well, and I couldn't get it to work. And I was like, right, I'll take it out and I'm going to give it everything. Not everything I have. And that way it'll fly like Richard made it fly. The first throw wasn't too bad. It wasn't quite covering Richard distances, but it was a lot better than I threw it myself previously.
Yeah.
But I felt like I'd pulled my arm out of its socket. And I thought, well, why am I going to be doing that every drive when I can throw the river the same distance?
Have you thought about looking at a lighter disc? Because all your discs are pretty similar in weight.
Yeah.
You know how much the wind scares me.
Yeah, but just don't use it in the wind. You've got all your other discs.
I've got this horrible phobia, but I'm not horrible phobia because that's a phobia of a phobia. I've got this horrible feeling that one day I'm going to be like some old man, like literally terrified of the wind.
Just be... What's that? The wind scares me.
I'm not going out in Italy, and it blow me over.
But I also think, though, as well, looking at it, because I've been analysing my throw, but also not going down a rabbit hole, as we said, of watching YouTube things, just little tweaks I've been doing, because my driving has been pretty poor recently, and I think it's because I was, like we said a few episodes back, I'm trying too many different things.
Yeah.
And I think the thing with Rich, when how he can get his distance, which I think... has an advantage on all of us is because he's quite tall and he has a unique wingspan. He can
wish was a little bit tall.
Wish he was a baller. What a insert clip, Lee.
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was like
yeah, I love that song. But no, I think the thing is, he reminds me, it's kind of like when you look at certain pros like James Conrad, he's tall and his wingspan is different to others, and he can Rich can generate more power because of the length of his arm, and that's why I think he can generate so much more than us, and that's why also that's right. A contradicting power of thing as well. It's so interesting.
Why is that not working for Ben then?
Because is Ben the same size as him? Yeah,
because me and you are midgets.
Yeah, we are. We're hobbitses for life.
I've got mighty long arms.
Yeah.
But the thing is, as well.
Though, aren't you?
Yeah.
But the thing is, as well. That's interesting. That is interesting. Then.
Mine's. That's I think it's. Motion.
Mm.
But also, he does that, and I do.
I think also.
For those
from watching.
Know what Ben's just doing.
He's just rotating. I think as well. Sometimes Ben doesn't generate power from your hips as well. That's one thing. I don't think. And Rich does that quite well because he gets a full rotation almost. And Nev, Ben, you kind of just stop part like when you're there, that's it.
It's
like you're generating them.
Drives. What am I doing wrong?
I can tell you, but
if I do a full turn, I'm going to throw it the wrong way. I have a specific so it goes out.
But that's the thing, I think, is like you figured out how to throw it, so now it's trying to work out, add something to that, so you then generate that. So for me, it was more like I need to get more rotation in my hips, so then I got more distance and more consistency with that. But now I have an issue which I keep late releasing again, so I need to figure out what I've done wrong. Lol.
What's he showing me?
What like shenanigans?
Blizzard, 138.
13 speed, glide 5, 138
grams. 138
grams? You can go slightly heavier, you can go all the way up to 150.
Anyway, we're
anyway, I love this.
A destroyer, which is slightly slower.
I love a destroyer.
Is out of stock, obviously.
Of course it is.
Because it's a popular disc.
So we've digressed again.
Blizzard plastic. You're bringing Blizzard plastic, eh? Interesting. Okay. I love it. Right. That was Disc of the Week and talking about each other's drives and other discs. I love it. We always go on tangents. I love it.
Oh, that's not a good name. Anyway, I almost digressed again there. So random games and stuff that we play. So
yes.
Ben, actually, when I told him we were doing this week, he was like, oh, we've already done this. But no, not the... random games we play, so
official games,
yeah,
actual game modes,
yeah. Well, that and just some dossing around that we do, so
it's true.
Throw it over this bush
was a good game.
Yeah. Throw it over this bush
for a good few weeks, and that was just born. Richard just threw a disc and I went,
over a bush,
over a bush, and I was like, what are you doing? He went, I'm trying to throw over this bush into that basket. And then suddenly we were all emptying our bags trying to throw a disc out. For weeks. Yep.
Literally.
For weeks.
70 discs around this basket.
And not one of us got it in.
Yeah.
What did we play last time I played? Oh, we played from 17 to 15? Like, yes. Closest to the pin game?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, again, that's just like a little hill that goes down, it's a little downhill
with a
slope.
Tree
it's
that's
very short, but it's
but the tree really does block a lot of insight, like your interesting lines, like you keep, do you go high and wide, do you go wide and low? It's really good.
You can go left, you can go right, you can go high, you can go low.
It's so good.
It's there's a lot
shape
of lines,
bendings lines,
but you gotta avoid trees and hills.
Yeah, it's
and
just a bit of fun, isn't it?
It is.
What else? Oh,
Obviously, we did a put off.
We have
off.
The put off.
Yeah,
put off is play, solid.
Which we've got videos of.
Foreplay. Yeah. Also, our official, unofficial videos we haven't done yet is the Bergmasters, is what we love.
Yeah, so let's Bergmasters is a nice, easy one. Bergmasters is a round on a short course with nothing but your Berg.
Yeah.
Bergmasters.
And you get a belt, like, or a fake belt.
Yeah, we got to make the belt. But, yeah.
We have to make the belt.
But which is currently the Bergmaster. I was first Bergmaster.
You were the first and reigning Bergmaster until Rich took it off.
Yeah. Right, by a point.
By a point.
By a point.
Yeah.
And then Foreplay.
Explain
Foreplay to us, Lee.
Pardon my French, love Foreplay, because Foreplay is one of those games where I think it embodies what disc golf is all about. You show up with your mates and you pick four random discs out of your bag. You can either pick them or you just put your hand in and go, whatever, yeah, I'll take
you
it
just
out.
Just get four discs.
And then basically how it works is you figure out your turn order of how you're going to throw, and then you pass that disc on to the next person.
And then what you do is, this is like an unwritten rule, you forget that turn order on every single hole and give the disc to someone else.
And just really frustrate Dan where he's like, Ben,
and then Dan's
no.
like,
yeah,
no,
I think it's this one,
you.
Right? No, it's you. It's got to be this one, right?
And he throws it back at you and you give it to someone else.
And then
next hole, you do it again.
Yeah.
So you just do remember that on every hole.
You just do that. And remember your turn order. But then also there's like, at some point you will not have
discs.
Me.
And so then we had, what was it? Our rule was you threw the dagger.
One person will have 7 discs, one person will have 3 discs.
Is the rule not, you use a Berg now, because we've all got Bergs, if you run out of discs.
But I feel the Berg is a disadvantage, because we play the Berg Masters and all of us know how to use the Berg, so it's a bit of a not handicap.
It's the only disc we've all got, unless it's a banger.
Banger. Banger or Berg, I would say, then. Because we did say the dagger, didn't we? But that was like...
But that was when
you couldn't...
have any discs, and it was just like, you just use the dagger.
Just use the dagger out the thing. We need to make up an unwritten rule for whoever runs out of discs.
I think it's got to be the banger, because...
It's our unofficial put of the podcast, it makes sense.
But pick a donkey disc.
Yeah.
Because the banger's only good if you put it. If you drive it, you got a banger, you're going
to
have a...
And you come up, and all your mates have to agree with it. Like, the disc, you don't throw as much in your bag.
I can get a banger to go further than a can of Berg.
True.
But yeah, Foreplay is so much fun.
I do drive with putters. I practice that.
Ben drives the putters. That's a video series we should have.
That is a video series, yeah, that is. Yeah. But no, there's... Yeah.
But yeah, and so you throw your disc, you give it to your next person.
Yeah.
And the reason that some people end up with more discs, some other people end up with less, is because Lee will get a birdie.
Yeah.
I'll get a bogey.
And then you just keep discs. Yeah. And you become... One of you kind of becomes like Thanos, and you have infinity discs. Like, you literally have all the discs.
Yeah, you can start hiding discs. You're like, this hole's coming up in a bit. So let's keep that in my bag.
Yeah, that YouTube video where I think I do yell at you at one point. It's like, the river? How long have you had that thing?
I had the river for so long.
It was so funny.
Wait until hole nine.
It was so funny. But yeah, you can also... You can either play four, play on a big course or a little course. We did it at Sherwood Pines because it was a small course, because it's kind of funny, because it's like trying to throw a distance driver and loads of other random stuff on a short hole is hilarious. And just seeing your friends throw discs that they don't normally throw as well. Because you can be genuine and say, like, this is how it should fly, or you just lie to them and they just say, well, it's going to throw this way, and then they throw it and it just doesn't behave
you
the way they said.
Just tell them nothing and give them your disc.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Figure it out.
Put off.
And put off.
Horse with putters.
Yeah.
So we have three lives. I mean, this got adapted over time as well, didn't it? So we now have three lives.
Yeah.
One person makes a put, the next person has to match it or beat it. If you don't make the put, you lose one of your lives. We actually do it now, so you pull three putters or three discs out your bag, because you're going to take three putters. You take three discs out your bag, and that's what you're going to be putting with.
Yeah. So
if you lose a life, you don't just lose a life,
you lose that specific life.
Yeah, you lose disc. That putter.
And that disc, yeah, that putter, yeah.
Each disc is a life.
Yeah. Love that.
And if you end up staying away, it goes to a sudden death.
Yeah, sudden death kind of put, doesn't it?
Love sudden death put offs.
Yeah. What other games we play? We have played a few.
But we have like our mini games within mini games. So like obviously we're talking about like four play and like obviously match play is just normal. But like we have our own fun games of just like good tree, bad tree. Where the did that go? Just loads of fun mini games like that. Like if you can buzz it, what do we call it? Grass, the one where we always seem to throw it.
Grass trimmer.
Like there was a few this Sunday, Ben, where we just had it, and it just like it looked like a flying saucer off the ground.
My original grass cutter throw.
Yeah, we do. It's just drives off 15.
And yeah.
And the reason we do all this stuff, and the reason I want to bring it up into the podcast, is not just to tell people that we're bit mad and we do stuff that you probably shouldn't do.
We are insane.
But this stuff actually has helped my game along the way.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if you've seen a video I put in the chat yet, Luke, but...
oh, this is the...
Yesterday...
Garden assault course.
Yesterday, I'm doing some putting practice, right?
Okay.
And I think to myself, how can I get my shot straighter?
Right.
From close up, like when I take a close up putt,
okay.
How do I then make it straight? And whilst I'm looking around my garden for some inspiration, and I saw my ladders, and I set my ladders up, like my A-frame ladders,
right in front
of my basket.
That's amazing.
And was putting through the ladders to make sure that my line was perfectly straight.
That's actually a really good way, and also to accidentally break.
Trying to swanton bomb him.
I was gonna say, you either like gonna break in your disc.
But mate, I was actually really shocked. Time. I did hit the ladder a couple of times, but like I was running like nine putters, and like, I was getting like 8 out of 9 of them in.
That's not bad.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's actually my shit putters that I was hitting the ladder with.
Bounce off the ladders.
But then I actually moved the ladders to the side, and I thought, well, now they're a tree.
Oh, okay.
What you should have done.
Dragged my football goal. I was like, now that's a bush.
Oh, okay.
I'm beyond my football goal. I'm gonna put. Over the bush.
Over the bush.
Turn the ladder the other way, try and get it through a rug. Miyagi level training.
Miyagi training.
It's all fun in games, but like when we're doing the like put off, for example, it is improving our putting skill.
Heck yeah, it is.
And it's actually improving that pressure. Cause when you get down to your last, if you are on your last disc and somebody's on three discs, and you're like, well, now I've got to like every put I need to make, you know,
yeah,
I'm not letting him like whitewash me. Or you get to a sudden death situation and that tension starts building up. We've been in 100%. Sudden death situations that we shouldn't have been in because
long
we've we've been in long ones. We've also been in short ones because we messed up so bad. And then we're in short range sudden death situations, and you actually feel that
the pressure.
Yeah.
And although, you know, we don't play in high stakes tournaments or anything like that, do you know what? I feel less pressured at a tournament than I do when I'm playing against you guys
if
sometimes.
You want to feel the pressure of a put off. Put a clown wig on top of a basket.
Put a clown wig. And then also you don't want to become designated cameraman.
Of course. That's the other game that we played. And
designated cameraman.
It's a shame that the wig disappeared.
Did it disappear though? Or did it get stolen by probably a hawk from our birthday week?
No idea where it went. I unloaded the boot. Like, I was going, where's the wig gone?
Oh, mate.
But the wig was a great game.
We need to bring... We should have a wig round. We should, for just embarrassing.
Well, me and Ben were talking yesterday about random hats.
Yep.
Yeah, we bought a hat again
We obviously saw Dr. Alan Grant.
Yes, we saw Dr. Alan Grant.
And I said to you that, you know, I'm actually can't wait to get to that certain age where you're wearing a hat like that and no one thinks you're a bit weird. But then when me and Ben were talking yesterday about disc golf hats,
that'd be really good.
Very nearly bought a weird hat yesterday.
Yeah,
I've got the beer. I've got the beer like, hat. The beer goggle like, hat. I have.
Where are you gonna wear that? Why are you gonna buy it? Where are you gonna wear it? I was like, disc golf.
Disc golf.
Every day.
We need to get drunk goggles. We should try drunk goggle putting.
That sounds bad.
Because it's like it just blurs your vision. Just the gear beer goggles. We should do a put off with beer goggles. That'd be pretty fun to do.
That would be pretty.
Or even just a hole or a round. You're definitely vomit-inducing. Blindfolded.
You just get blindfolded, right? Well, we're not savages. We have a bell, right? Somebody rings the bell behind the basket.
Okay. And then you got to go... Okay, so it was in that general direction. Okay.
Yeah.
That could be hilarious, actually. A blindfolded hole.
Ring the bell.
We just love to do random fun stuff. I think that'd be hilarious content.
That's going to improve your game.
I don't think a blindfold is going to like suit me too well,
mate.
It's going to improve your game, mate.
Who's the blind guy from Mortal Kombat?
Kenshi.
Yeah, we're all going to we'll call it the Kenshi round because we all love Mortal Kombat. We'll have the Kenshi, just not running around with a samurai sword. We'll be fine.
Is that where we can't offend anybody? Because he's fictional.
They're not saying anything about you now, okay? They're talking about fictional characters. Fictional characters.
am I getting through to you guys at all? Oh, I love that movie. Love Jane, Silent Bob. Any chance?
Oh, yeah, mate. Anyway,
I love that
we're digressing, which brings us to the end of the cast.
Oh!
But before we go...
Yes.
We are going to do a new podcast.
Yes, we are.
Talking about...
That might be the name. We did think of a name of Freezer Crowd.
Freezer Crowd.
But while we've been talking today, I thought, why don't we call it Digression? Because that's mainly what we
do. That'd be a good one.
But if you want to listen to a podcast that we're going to be talking about movies and TV shows and old TV shows and old movies and
Scotty Too Hotty
and Scotty Too Hotty
and music and books and hobbies and just anything that we have.
And
literally.
And we're going to perv over gladiators and we're going to do all sorts
of Scotty
Too
Hotty.
and we're going to digress. A lot.
Just breaking because it's every like, we're going to talk about this and Scotty Too Hotty. We're going to talk about that and Scotty Too Hotty. We're just going to have random facts of Scotty Too Hotty per week.
That is actually something we've already got planned.
Yeah.
Scotty Too Hotty facts. Come to this podcast for your Scotty Too Hotty facts.
It's true. We're just going to have loads of random fun stuff.
So if you've got a brand of humour and don't want to hear us talk about this, the only rule of this podcast...
We can't talk about disc golf.
It's
the unwritten rule. It's like Fight Club. It's the unwritten rule.
This is the podcast where I'm going to get Scotty Too Hotty to be a guest. It's going to happen.
He's the guest on episode 50 of this podcast.
Episode 50 of disc golf.
Talk to him about disc golf.
Yep. And then it would literally be like, I'm ready to talk about wrestling. And we'd be like, cool. So disc golf. Just literally be like, yeah,
are
we've paid
him.
Are
you aware of who Philo Braithwaite is? Because you might need to know about him for this comment. Anyway, we digress.
I love that.
So look out for our Freezer Crowd, talking digression.
Whatever we're going to call it. I love it.
Call it.
It's going to be
if
so much fun.
If you're into our kind of humour, don't want to hear about disc golf all the time. Or you know somebody else that'd be into our kind of humour, but... not interested in disc golf, send them my way to the new podcast. I'll guarantee 100%. It'll be fun.
Yeah, because 100%, a lot of my friends were like, we want to be a part of that cast where we can just come on and talk. And I'm just like, perfect. We're just going to have a group of people just arguing or even just laughing and just... They're the kind of best podcast when people get really passionate.
I mean,
which we love it.
If we get past two episodes of the Talking podcast, I'll be amazed.
Yeah, I love that.
No, we're going to keep Ben in check.
We've got to keep... But music, like, we're going to literally cover all topics, like music, you name it, we'll probably talk it. Scotty Too Hotty, obviously, yeah. Yeah, but it's just going to be a good one. I think it's just going to be a pretty mellow, chill podcast where we're just going to have a topic and then just be all over the shop. Kind of like what you heard today, where we just digress from a topic and just into randomness, but it was also disc golf related.
Yeah, I think what we said was we're going to pick a topic, so I think week one is going to be gladiators.
Yeah, that show's insane. Have you been recently re-watching episodes?
Yes, but that is for next week.
It's true. But how insane are some of the... How that would not be made these days.
Have you been watching the Gladiators versus Gladiators?
Yes.
Oh, so good. But that's next week.
That's next week. I've got to hold my madness.
The idea is that we're going to start on that topic, and that is it. That's the only thing we're going to have planned.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, and of course, this Scotty Too Hotty fact.
Oh, Scotty Too Hotty fact every single day. Yeah, 100%. I'm down with that.
Yeah. No, sweet.
Yeah, so guys, thanks for listening to this podcast as always. If you've enjoyed it, please leave a like. Leave a comment as well, that'd be amazing. If you're listening to this on Podbean, yeah, feel free to subscribe. And yeah, if you're watching this on YouTube, feel free to subscribe as well. Check out Discheads' YouTube channel. It's coming on now. It's going to be... we've got content planned and you've heard a little bit of what we want to do in the future.
Yeah, there's not many videos on there.
We need to get back on it, but also... There's so many cool ideas we're going to bring to it. It's going to be really cool. So with that being said, guys, take care. Have a good one. And we'll see you in a couple more weeks' time for episode 12.